AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Top Democrats in both the House and Senate have now officially endorsed Kamala Harris for president.
We are brimming with excitement, enthusiasm, unity.
That's Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, who also praised President Biden for his selfless decision to drop out. The endorsement's coming ahead of Harris's rally today in Milwaukee. House Speaker Mike Johnson responded to Kim Cheadle's resignation as Secret Service Director. CBS's Nicole Killian.
He said that I am happy to see that she has heeded the call of Republicans and Democrats. And now we have to pick up the pieces. We have to rebuild the American people's faith and trust in Secret Service.
And officials say fireworks caused a fast-moving wildfire that's destroying homes in Riverside, California. Riverside Mayor Patricia Locke Dawson.
Our investigators will continue relentlessly until we are assured that the suspects have been caught.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris making a big announcement to a crowd of supporters today in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, I am told as of this morning that we have earned the support of enough delegates to secure the Democratic nomination.
She spoke to a crowd in West Allis. It was her first campaign stop as the presumptive Democratic Party nominee for president. Two people are dead after a plane crash near the EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh yesterday, which was the first day of the world's largest fly-in. All operations at Whitman Regional Airport were shut down. Federal safety officials say it was a private craft that was not taking part in the EAA. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following are upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, July 24th. In Wood County, the Land Information Council will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in Room 114. The Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin Advisory Committee will meet at 10 a.m. by teleconference. The Village of Port Edwards will hold their Public Works Committee meeting at 10 a.m. at the Marshall Bueller Center. The Public Safety meeting will take place at 4:30. There will be a general update from the fire department from the new fire chief. There will also be discussion and possible action on the formation of a cadet program for the Port Edwards Fire Department. They are still short on members after close to a dozen resigned over the course of the last year. Many of them resigned, stating continued pressure from the village board. In Portage County, the Public Safety Emergency Management Committee will meet at 8 a.m. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Cubs get a win over the Crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Just under 36,000 fans in the friendly confines of Wrigley Field watched a tight ball game between the Brewers and the Cubs last night. Except for a solo home run by Willie Adames in the eighth, the Brewers held to just five hits and lose 3-1 in Chicago. Manager Pat Murphy.
We didn't come up with a big hit. We did a great job in some areas. I think our youth showed tonight. You know, Tobias was fabulous. He threw the ball great, but the balk, the wild pitch with an 0-2 pitch, the bases loaded, obviously throwing the ball away at second, you know, that accounted for two of the three runs. And
the series continues tonight. NFL, the Packers making national headlines. Jordan Love's agents and the team still working on a contract for the young quarterback. Packers president Mark Murphy at the annual shareholders meeting.
I'm not saying anything about Jordan Love other than he's a heck of a quarterback and we want to sign him.
Murphy also said the team is working on a deal with Peyton Manning's Omaha Productions to do a documentary about the Packers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm Scarlett Johansson. My family relied on public assistance to help provide meals for us. These meals fueled my involvement in theater and the arts as a child, which fostered my love for acting. The Feeding America Network of Food Banks helps millions of people put food on the table. You can join the movement to end hunger by donating, volunteering, and advocating. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, slight shower chance tonight, low upper 50s to 60. Mostly sunny for tomorrow after some patchy morning fog, highs in the upper 70s. Sunshine and around 80 to the low 80s Thursday, And with more humidity for the weekend, temps continue to climb through the 80s. Right now it's 73.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James Help Seth Pick the Next Theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
The Todd Alba Show.
Reed Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project.
Project 2025 says that for the first time in 30 years, we want to restart testing of nuclear weapons. Tell me who that's good for. Yeah. I'm not sure it's really good for anybody. I have no proof of this. But I think Donald Trump wants to see a mushroom cloud. I think he wants to feel the warm glow of an H-bomb on his pasty orange skin. I think he wants to feel the power.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning, we visit with Congressman Mark Pocan about the current presidential campaign chaos and his take on last week's Republican convention.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Tuesday, July 23rd, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two, we're going to talk to our good friend Amy Scheid from the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. Looking forward to that conversation. Looking forward to this one. We have in studio with us Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's Hopo production of It's a Madhouse. We are going to be talking with director Stephanie Horth. Hearth. Got it on the second try, Steph. Got it on the second. Director Stephanie is with us, and we have some of the cast members with us as well. We have Malachi Graff with us. Malachi, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
You can get closer to the mic on those if you don't mind.
Thank you.
Yeah, be a close talker, guys. Get right up to that mic. And we have Sarah Panzer with us. Hey, Sarah. Thanks for being here. Appreciate the time, you guys. Thanks so much for being here. Stephanie, I was just rambling with Stephanie that I would love to dive into Hopo Productions, and maybe another time we're going to do that for sure. But I do want to say how much I appreciate the work that you put into this every year. It's an investment.
Yeah,
it really is. Mm-hmm. You and I are huge lovers and promoters of community theater, and big part because... not only that we love theater, not only that we love acting and all of these things, but what it does for these kids. You know this better than I do. Mm-hmm. The confidence that it can build in
for
them.
Sure, definitely.
The public speaking skills that are much better than mine, apparently, that you can learn from these things. While not every actor and every kid may go on to be an actor or a thespian, every one of them are going to go on to do things that they can use confidence in, that they can use better public speaking in.
Absolutely.
With the teaching I've done over the years, every time I've had a student or a kid that wants to get to SNL, that's great. But I've had attorneys and doctors on with us that just want to be better at talking with people in general. Theater is that avenue and gives that to kids.
Yeah, even in like job interviews, I use theater as a, you know, I have customer service experience, but also, you know, improv. Like someone tells something, you can have something to say right back to them, you know, and it makes you comfortable. I've worked with, you know, 5-year-olds. I've worked with 85-year-olds. So, I mean, just that range of, you know, personalities and stuff, it helps with job interviews and jobs in general. So yeah, definitely.
It's so much deeper and goes so much farther than I think we can really put in the words sometimes.
Sure.
And you've got a fun one to coming up here. We're going to talk about the cast in a little bit, but if you don't mind, I'd like to start off with the plot and a little bit of a synopsis of what is It's a Madhouse.
Yeah, so it starts with there's a very famous rich author, mystery author, who just passed away, and it is the reading of his will at the very start of the show. He's got 4 children, 2 boys, 2 girls. These are Sarah and Malachi. Are 2 of them, and they are getting to find out what they're getting from their rich father, and come to find out he doesn't think too highly of them because they aren't the greatest people. And so he basically tells them in the will that he has liquidated all of his money, and it is in one object worth $84 million. It is hidden somewhere in the home. Whoever finds it, family, friend, or foe, basically gets it. And so they all are like, whatever, we're not looking for it. And then they kind of decide to. But in meanwhile, there is a storm brewing and there is flooding happening. This mansion that they're in is on top of a hill. All of these random combinations of people start coming up to this home to get out of the flooding. And they catch wind of this hidden object that literally anyone can find, and it could be anything. So it is literally a madhouse of combinations of anyone and everyone looking for something.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
My only catch of this is that I wasn't able to audition.
Correct.
That sounds like so much fun. You guys, this sounds like a great script. I'd like to hear about your characters a little bit and dive into that. But before we do, I'd like to ask both of you, put you on the spot. I mean, ask you, just to, real quickly, what made you want to do this? What made you want to get on stage? What made you want to be a part of this production and to act in general? Malachi, I'll start with you.
Originally, I started theater because I needed a way to keep my grades up, and it was just a way to like force you to keep above Fs, because if I had more than two Fs, I wasn't allowed to participate, and it was just an easy way for me to keep my grades up, so I started acting.
That's a good enough reason. Now that you're doing it, have you been enjoying it? Have you been having fun with the process?
Yeah, I meet tons of new people, and like everyone's different, so it's just fun to work with new people.
Yeah. The things that Steph and I were talking about before, about feeling more confident, feeling better with your public speaking skills, some of those things. Have you noticed some of that? Have you picked up a little of that?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I did theater throughout high school, and my public speaking has definitely changed throughout then, because I've like done monologues and stuff on stage in front of hundreds of people before. Mm. So.
Mm-hmm. It's almost too good. I need this job, man. Don't go taking my... Don't be eyeing this microphone. I need this job. No, actually, it's really good. It sounds so great. Sarah, how about for you?
I've been a part of Stephanie's show since I was 8, so for 10 years.
I know.
And I started because I needed something to do in the summers.
And I forced you and your sister to do it.
Yeah. And it really developed into something that I looked forward to every year, and I've made lifelong-lasting friendships through it, and I wanted to do it for my last year.
That's really cool. So the contract is up after this year then. Your contract with Stephanie.
It's awful. They're always welcome to come back and work for me backstage.
Sarah, with doing this as long as you have you noticed building some confidence from stage, some confidence in your public speaking?
Of course. I was a really shy kid, so doing this sort of thing really helped me to come out of my shell and to make friendships and all that stuff.
Yeah. I moved around a ton growing up, and it was very difficult for me to make friends. I was really bad at it. Really, like, as bad as you could think of making friends, I was bad at it. I think with sports, it helped a little bit, but really it was theater that really helped me make friends, feel more confident in my own skin, and reach out to people that even weren't in theater and try to be friends and some of that. It's great to hear you two. That's fantastic. Let's talk a little bit about your characters. Can you tell us the name of your character and a little bit about them? Malachi, again, I'll start with you.
My character's name is Russell, and he's kind of just like this lazy, cocky attitude guy where he thinks, like, he's the youngest of the family, so he thinks that he can just get whatever he wants by doing nothing.
Did you have fun?
Playing this? I have a lot of fun playing it.
Yeah. Sometimes it's fun to play those kind of characters. There's something just exciting about it at times. Sarah, how about for you?
I play Pansy, which is kind of funny because my last name is Pansy.
Yeah, that is a little loud in the nose.
Yeah. She's the third youngest, and she's kind of like this like flighty socialite, kind of really self-centered character, but there is kind of more to her, but you kind of learn that throughout the show.
Mm, nice. Oh, well done. Good tease. Nicely done.
Mm-hmm.
You got good ones here, Stephanie. Yep. You got really good ones here. When it comes to the time commitment that these can be, how often were you guys rehearsing?
So last night was our first rehearsal, and we performed next weekend. We have 8 total rehearsals. Normally we have 7, so it's a little slightly different this year. But yeah, we had auditions last Monday. They found out what characters they were last Tuesday. Rehearsals are last night, tonight, and Thursday, and then next week is our full rehearsal week, and then we have performances next weekend. So 8 rehearsals.
I was trying to count this out the other day, and I lost track when I got to like 40. But between the two of us, we've done about 40 or more than that productions over at WRCT over the years. This is not the normal schedule for a main stage show.
No.
This is a quick turnaround.
Yes. So typically we have, in the past, prior to COVID, we had always 2 kids shows. We had the typical 6-week long rehearsal. And in the summer, I mean, that can be hard any time of year, you know, for summer vacations and camps and all that. So when Gretchen and I started HOPO back in 2010, it was kind of a quick, almost camp-like, and, you know, it's 10 to 3, you're there all day, and, you know, so it just kind of helped as a still an opportunity to do a show, but less of a time commitment.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, the camp ways. I think that's a really good way to put it. And it also, for one, it speaks to, you know, not if you are looking to get your kids involved in this or anything, it is not a huge time commitment. There is that avenue of it that I think is important. But it's also a chance for us to give credit to you and this kids and this staff, your team over there, to be able to flip this around like that. It's impressive.
I know when I've been doing HOPO for... you know, 10, 13, 14, whatever years, I don't know. And when I directed a couple shows in between that were not that short time commitment, I was like, I don't know what to do with all my rehearsal time. Like, how do I stretch this out? And I'm so used to two blocking rehearsals, two review rehearsals, run through the show, and then we're good, you know? Mm. And so I was, I obviously did it because they're longer shows. These shows are a little bit shorter, but these still are, you know, hour and a half shows, so they're full productions and everything. But yeah, it was definitely an interesting, oh wait, I have more time. With this show especially, like, we have our set basically built already. We have to paint it and all that. We have to find props and all that. But for the most part, I mean, that's one of the things that I have to do as the director for HOPO. I have to have everything ready to go, you know, like, and I'm terrible at pre-blocking. I have a little bit of ideas, but I am a visual person. I have to like move the pieces and see, especially if there's, you know, 40 kids on stage, I can visualize two that are talking, but what about the rest of them who are just staying hanging out? So I gotta move people. And so, yeah, so it's definitely been, I mean, every year I learn something different. I try something new, and what works works, and what doesn't, we figure it out. So, yeah.
And these are always amazing productions. You guys pull it off every year. It's also noteworthy, I think, when it comes to the rehearsal process of not just the time commitment, but what you're saying there about having it almost pre-boxed and ready to go. You know, theater just out the box, ready to go, one size fits all kind of thing. I'm curious how you've, because directed other shows with on the main stage and some of that, how the difference between the two? Is it a lot of the setup, pre-setup?
To some extent, yes. Also, it's finding the right script. I mean, for HOPO, I have to think of it as, first of all, I have to find a script that has enough people. You know, I have 50 something, I don't even know how big our cast is, but I have to look for something that's large enough or it has potential to add. Also just breaking up with schedule, you know, I have to be able to make it make sense to be able to do it in a week's time. And I used to be, Gretchen and I, we first started, we actually used to act in the show with it along with directing. That got to be way too much. So I didn't have to worry about that anymore because I used to have to find a character that would make sense for me to play. And then, So then having to find, like, because normally we have, this is a one set show, which we'd never had before for HOPO. It's typically 14 scene changes. Here's a forest, here's a house, here's this, here's that. So this is actually weirdly... it's nice. It's act one and act two. There's no scene changes. Yeah. And I'm kind of, it's weird, but that's okay.
You don't know how to feel about it, do you?
I'm also known for my scene change music, and I don't have that with this show. So afterwards, and Acacia is my assistant, and I'm like, wait, what did I do? Why did I pick the show? But I have something else planned with that, with music. So it'll be, So every little grouping that comes in will have something to announce them.
That's nice. Oh, that's exciting.
I'm so excited about that.
You want to get your tickets for this show, wrctheater.org. We'll give you more information on that before we wrap up. We're again speaking with Stephanie, and we have Malachi and Sarah with us from the HOPO production of It's a Madhouse. And Stephanie, you had a great idea in our pregame here about you wanted to make sure that we mentioned and gave a shout out to all the actors and the crew and everything. I'll let you guys do that for a second.
Perfect.
So the actors in the Pembroke family are Brandon Winters as Gerald, Emmy McNibbett as Judith, Sarah Panzer as Pansy, Malachi Graff, which is me, as Russell, Abrietta Harchez as Abigail, and Natalie Clickler as Grandmama.
And then we have our Pembroke's estate staff, which is Lorraine the lawyer, and that's played by Dana Tritz. And Hobson the butler is Ethan Nirongo.
And then we have our super fans, Harriet, played by Dawn Freeberg, and George by Matthew Breyer.
And we have the ghost hunters played by Catherine Dewar, who is Nora, and Corbin Candler, which is Ian, Olivia Alworld, which is Myrtle.
And then we have the burglars. Think Home Alone. Burglars are Snake, which is Cohen Swanson, and Joey Charlie Shaw.
And then we have the TV news team. And we have Carly Swan playing Katie, Phoebe Lager playing Drew, and Elena Cleaver playing Alex.
And then we have the thespians. We have Wesley, which is played by Austin Franz, Devin, which is played by Adelina Harchez, Caitlin, which is played by Eden Hahn, Trent is played by Weston Swanson, Florence is played by Cleo Malport.
Chloe Malport. And then we have our family, which is a 1950s-esque family. Billy is Harry Roush, Dad, Everett Swanson, Mom, Elena Sparks.
Then we have our tourists, Ivy, played by Rose Paul, Barbara, played by Cadence Felt, Vicky, played by Trinity Peckham, Una, played by Freya Wazolik, Wanda, played by Kayla Peckham.
And there's extra tourists, Julia Dober-Reiner, Jackson Jensen, Audrey Diggles, and Elijah Nirongo.
And then we have the cheerleaders, which is Yolanda, played by Sully Schultz, Aaron, played by Mia Sievers, Quinn, played by Quinn Goodness, Charlene, played by
Imogene
Schultz, Crystal, played by Abri Michaels.
And the extra cheerleaders we have are Margot Roush, Willow Mann, Haley Diggles, and Chloe Carell.
And we have our police officers, Officer Morales, played by Peter Swanson, and Officer Kowalski, played by Ellery Shaw.
And then we have our guests, Zorina, played by Kari LaCour, and our mystery guest is played by Jason Debonair.
Perfect.
Yes. Excellent.
A lot of people.
I appreciate you guys doing that. Thank you so much for getting that in there and shouting out all those great individuals. Congratulations to every one of them.
I also want to shout out Acacia Landowski is my assistant and stage manager, and then Ella Panter is going to be assistant stage manager, and she's going to be set designer, decorator, and then Jeff Friday has put our set together, and I believe that's it. And then costumes and hair and makeup and all that will be cast and crew, and then Gunnar Ringer is our lighting designer and light technician, and I most likely will be running sound like I usually do. Thank you. Susie leaned in. I was like, yes, there's another Gunnar. We can't forget Gunnar. He was already there last night hanging lights and strapping things down and doing great.
We all good guys, all good people. We appreciate this. Not only mentioning those names, but I think it also gives the audience, especially people who aren't theater people necessarily, an idea of, whoa, all the people that it takes to make something like this happen. And keep in mind, every person that's doing this is doing it out of passion, doing it out of love for their community, love of the arts. Mm-hmm. And it is a great, all you got to do to support that is just get a ticket. Just get a ticket, take in a show, and you are supporting the arts. You are supporting local theater. I apologize, you guys, but any chance I have, I'm going to get on my soapbox about this. Wisconsin finished last in the union when it comes to funding the arts. It is on us as citizens to support the arts and to keep them around. Buy local, support local. That includes the arts. You can find out more at wrctheater.org. We, of course, always could use volunteers when it comes to these shows. There's always a place for you at WRCT if you're looking and interested in that. Encourage you to reach out to the team over there. Stephanie, before we let you go, is there anything else you wanted to mention about It's a Madhouse?
It's so every year for Hopewell, I try to find something that's maybe a little different than we've done. We've never done a show like this before. We've done a lot of fractured fairy tales, a lot of, you know, we've done comic book stuff. We've done so every year, people always are saying, this is the best show you've done so far. How are you going to top it? So, you know, no pressure. So, my result is trying to find something that we've never done. Again, we've never done anything like this. It's murder mystery-esque. It's very funny. It's just a combination of all kinds of people, personality types. It's a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun so far. We've literally had one rehearsal, but I've already think it's going really well.
It's interesting how it's got such a relatability to it too, with so much of the show. Well, the concepts, the plots, you know, they're a little out there. There's so much relatability in the script. And I did want to mention the writer of the script as well. We appreciate them also for the work.
Yeah, Todd Wallinger is the author of this. Yeah. I know in the past I've done quite a few shows by Brian D. Taylor. He became like my go-to author, but I don't think we've ever done with this author before, but yeah, so it's a well-written script. It's pretty realistic with all the chaos going on. It's still realistic enough, but I think it's a good show.
Yeah. We also, real quick before I let you go, we'll talk more about this as we get closer to it, but I did want to shout out Stephanie and the winter production of Arsenic and Old Lace. You'll be doing double duty this year with a main stage production and everything. Are you excited about that?
I'm getting through this show as my first priority.
Sure,
I'll worry about that one.
Yeah. But we encourage people to get their tickets.
Absolutely.
And look
and
at
it is
them.
Our 50th anniversary next season for WRCT, so.
We've been talking about that a lot on our morning show. We're very excited about it, and we're looking forward to a banger of a 50th season. Mm-hmm. And you've got a great lineup for it. So whether it is the main stage, it is the Hopo production, Silver Foxes, anything, there is a place for everybody in this community at WRCT. We encourage you to be a family member. Come on down. I will warn you, if you come down for a show, you will probably stay. You will probably never leave. I did back in 97, 96, and I haven't left since. And you guys know what I'm talking about. You two know exactly what I'm talking about. And Stephanie, you were born there. We appreciate the time from all of you again. And Stephanie, we want to encourage people to not only get tickets, but if you are interested in volunteering, maybe being a ticket distributor or anything like that, we are always looking for extra hands. Get your tickets. Find out more at wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org. And be sure to follow the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater on social media. It's not just a great way to keep up to date on everything they're doing over there, but maybe you share something on your page and somebody sees it that wouldn't have otherwise and comes to a show and takes it in and again becomes a new family member over at WRCT. Break a leg. Have a great run, you guys. Enjoy yourselves. Have fun out there, okay? And thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Appreciate the time. Again, wrctheater.org is the website. Be sure to bookmark that and check it out. We'll come back and we'll have more Midday Magazine for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a couple thoughts about cryptocurrency. Now I'm going to say right up front that I am married to a man who has a little bit of cryptocurrency, so I know there are some smart and very handsome folks in that space, and that money can be made in it. Now with that out of the way, I'm going to quote Michelle Singletary, who's the Washington Post money columnist, and she recently said, "Investing in crypto is highly speculative and inappropriate for most everyday investors." I think she nailed it for those of us who don't work in the money trading business. People who got in early, at least some of them, have done okay. And even when you hear about record highs for Bitcoin or Ether, just know that there are plenty more epic plummets that might not be making your feed. Okay, folks, that was your Work Money Minute. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Attention Badger fans, the countdown to kickoff is on. Get ready for Wisconsin football this fall as single game tickets are now available with select games starting at just $35. Don't miss out on big Badger matchups including Oregon and Penn State, all on the home turf. Secure your seats today and experience the excitement and energy of Badger football at Camp Randall Stadium this season. For more information on single game tickets, call 1-800-GO-BADGERS or visit uwbadgers.com. That's uwbadgers.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 89 of Wisconsin's 95 delegates to the Democratic National Convention say they're supporting Kamala Harris for president. Wisconsin Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler.
I've not heard anyone share with me that they would oppose Vice President Harris as the nominee of our party, and I have every confidence that as we move to November, we will be fully united as a party.
Harris held her first campaign event as her party's presumptive nominee today in West Allis. Mercury Marine is laying off 1,700 workers temporarily to make production adjustments. The layoffs will happen a week at a time for a total of up to 8 weeks now through the end of the year and will impact mostly hourly employees. Mercury made 300 permanent job cuts last month. The company blames lower demand. I'm Terry Bell. Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Last year, EAA Air Venture broke attendance records with over 600,000 visitors from 93 countries. EAA communications specialist Drew Stephanie said he expects this year to be another big one.
A lot of the attendance is going to depend on the weather, but I would say looking at the forecast so far, I think we're going to be on par with prior years. I certainly think we're expecting more than 600,000 to walk through the doors throughout the week.
Admission for children 17 and younger is free at EAA this year, thanks to the Boeing Company. Want to take part in a creative fiction writing contest? You can at Macmillan Library in Wisconsin Rapids. The deadline for entry is July 31st, and maximum word count is 5,000 words. These need to be original, unpublished work suitable for a general audience. You can find out more information at macmillanlibrary.org. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Brendan Fraser likes Ike and will portray him in a new film called Pressure. The film tells the story of the D-Day invasion where troops storm the beaches at Normandy. The Oscar-winning actor portrays the Supreme Allied Commander Eisenhower. Variety reports that Ripley star Andrew Scott will portray Britain's chief meteorological officer, James Stagg. Stagg informed Eisenhower of weather conditions that were crucial to the Normandy invasion. The project is in the early stages of pre-production. The Simpsons have done it again. The New York Post reports that in an episode from the year 2000 called Bart to the Future, Lisa Simpson becomes the first female president of the United States. In the episode, she is wearing the exact same outfit that Kamala Harris wore during the 2021 inauguration, right down to the pearl necklace and earrings. Simpsons writer Al Jean posted a picture of Lisa next to Harris in their matching outfits. Let's see if life will imitate art. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, slight shower chance tonight, low upper 50s to 60. Mostly sunny for tomorrow after some patchy morning fog, highs in the upper 70s. Sunshine in around 80 to the low 80s Thursday, and with more humidity for the weekend, temps continue to climb through the 80s. Currently at 75 degrees.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And my electrical was deemed unsafe. And I was about to lose homeowner's insurance as well. I didn't really know where to go in order to get help. And so I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. They've really been a blessing. Operation Homefront is a safety net. A lot of veterans, they fall through the cracks sometimes. And Operation Homefront, they catch us. It's been a blessing to us. It's a blessing to other veteran families. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us and want to see us do well and want to see us succeed. And we feel it and we appreciate that. I would say you guys are angels behind closed doors.
Visit OperationHomefront.org to learn more.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Donald Trump likes to say he surrounds himself with all the best people. We'll get to know a few of those a little bit better. And Dr. Laura Hanks with public service announcement. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Tuesday, July 23rd, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here, and we're welcoming into the studio right now our great friend, Amy Scheid, Administrative Development Volunteer Coordinator with our Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. Amy, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, James.
Always appreciate the time. And as I like to mention, proudly, but also for journalistic purposes, I am a board member on the Family Center. I'm pretty biased on this topic, in part because it is a very black and white topic to me. You are on the right side of history or not when it comes to this. And I bring this up in part, Amy, because we're going to talk about Touch a Truck and some of the great ways that you can help out the Family Center or take part in this great event coming up. But over the last month or so, we've gotten some news about some federal funding being cut, and I wanted to start off right there, if you don't mind.
Absolutely, James. Unfortunately, that is exactly right. We are staring down the barrel of a significant cut to the Victims of Crime Act funding, VOCA funding, that is one of the largest sources of funding for domestic violence shelters in our state.
This is and when we're talking cuts, I want to get a little detailed on this, because I want this to hit home to people, and I want them to understand the dollar amounts, how much is being taken out. We're talking about a 70% cut, Amy.
Absolutely correct. 70% is significant. It will make a difference of in excess, even if we are to obtain the maximum capped amount this year of $280,000+ for our shelter alone, James. So across the state, we're going to see significant impact from these cuts.
When it comes to those, when it comes to what the Family Center does, hopefully there's people out there that may not know, because they have not had to experience it and everything, but it is important that you understand and know so much of what the Family Center does, so you understand why every single penny counts and why this 70%, this huge cut, gigantic cut, could not come at a worse time in our society. And I think it's important, too, to note, Amy, how this affects people, even if they have never been experienced domestic violence or anything, or know of anybody that has. This affects you, too.
I think that there is a pervasive belief within our community and within the state, perhaps, that this is not a problem that occurs here. And just by the numbers, some numbers I'd like to highlight. Last year, Wisconsin Rapids Family Center provided 4,904 nights of shelter. They provided over 3,900 services within our community and extended community alone. Over 390 people received services, and shelter was provided to 44 adults and 35 children. Huh. So significant cuts such as $280,000 in the budget for Wisconsin Rapids Family Center, it has been a significant challenge to determine how to best continue to provide the myriad of services that we will continue to provide here at our local shelter. And figure out how to do that with significantly less money is going to be a significant challenge.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be getting to ways that our community can support the Family Center in a moment. I'd like to touch on how this affects those that think that it doesn't affect them. In part, I will go to where a lot of people do when it comes to this, any topic really, and money. And how does this affect you money-wise? Well, it affects your taxes. It affects our economy. It is one more thing that affects those things and slows that process down. By adding to the Family Center, by helping the Family Center, you are impacting your economy. You are impacting your taxes. So if I can't reach you on a human level, maybe I can reach you on your wallet, and how important it is to be adding to these things and helping the Family Center in the cause that they are in, and how we're just trying to make our community better. Like that, yes. If you scrape all of this aside, just look at it at its core. That's the essence of the Family Center, is safe and a safer community and safer families. And that's something that I don't know how you can't get behind.
I would agree with you. And there have been many studies done as far as the economic implication of abuse and how it affects our economy, how it trickles down to our children, into our schools, etc. And for those that think that Wisconsin is not affected by domestic violence, I would point out that in the last domestic violence homicide report, we were the fourth highest state in the nation for domestic violence deaths. That was a 20% increase over just the prior year. We lost 96 people due to domestic violence in Wisconsin in this last report. And indicators show that we are going to see another increase in this next report that will be released shortly. We'll be reporting on that during Domestic Violence Month as well. And I wish that the numbers were improving, but I don't believe that they are. So to me, it's a bit of a perfect storm in the sense that domestic violence homicides are increasing. access to shelter is increasing. The number of services provided are increasing and decreasing our federal funding by 70%. That is a problem.
It's also noteworthy that this is an election year, and I encourage you, like I always do, to look into the people that you are going to be voting for, look into not only who is in their pockets, but where are their interests and where do they stand on this important issue? Because I personally, just me talking for me here, I have no problem voting on this issue alone, let alone other issues. This is where we stand on this. This is where we have to stand on this. It's 2024. This has been an issue in our society for way too long, and it's a self-inflicted wound. This is something we can do something about. And I'm not just talking about domestic violence. I'm talking about this funding. This is something that we can do something about. You vote the right people into office. You get the right people in there that are going to back what your community backs, what your community is looking for. And Amy, you know this better than I do. This community supports the Family Center. This community believes in what the Family Center is doing. I'm kind of late to this in coming into the Family Center as a board member and some of these things, but this is a topic that has been important in my family from day one, and I've researched and learned about through my mother my whole life. Coming into things, I still don't know half of what you guys do, and that's why it's so important to fund the work that you guys are doing. Is not only are you doing some of the hardest work in this community, the hardest work in this country, but you are also knowledgeable and smart on these things, and we have the right people in these positions. We need to keep them in these positions. We need to keep the good people, and we need to keep the funding up. Now, there's only so much we can do in the moment right now when it comes to this, but we do have opportunities for you to help out the Family Center. We'll get to those in a moment. But, Amy, is there any other data you wanted to share with this VOCA cuts, anything else that we wanted to make sure we cover on this subject?
I would just say, James, that you're exactly right, and that there is not a service provided by the Family Center that should go away. There is our emergency shelter, a 24-hour phone line that provides support in a myriad of ways. There's you can walk in and be helped by a trained advocate. There's emotional support, education on domestic abuse and sexual assault, information, referral, ongoing support groups, a visitation and exchange center. Cuts of this magnitude will result in an inevitable reduction in vital programs affecting victims and their family in Southwood County. I can assure you that the shelter will not go away, and that 24-hour access to assistance for victims of domestic violence or sexual assault will always be there in your community. But in order for that to be the case, we need to address these cuts in our mid-year appeal, which we have done. You'll see a Facebook post today that addresses our mid-year appeal and discusses the VOCA cuts. Tricia Fancher, our executive director, was recently on Channel 9 discussing those cuts. We want people to know that services are not going to be reduced, but we do need them to understand that we've got some thumbs in the dam right now, James, and we do need assistance from our local small businesses, large businesses, individual community members in the form of financial support of our fundraising events and volunteerism.
Yeah. And again, we'll get to more on that before we wrap up today. But I will mention this, and I talk about this with a lot of our nonprofits, in particular, the Family Center. When you are donating to the Family Center, whether it is your time or your dollar, that is an investment. It's not just a donation. I know that's the word we give it and everything, but I give it a different word. That's an investment. That's not only an investment in the things that Amy and I have touched on as far as taxes, your economy, some of that, but we're also talking about kids. And there is no greater investment you can make in life than children and helping children. And there is always, and you, again, you know this better than I do, there is a lot of adults that will have backlash to this or that, or, well, you did this or you did that or whatever. Nobody can say anything as far as these kids go. These kids didn't ask for any of this.
Secondary trauma is real.
Absolutely it is. And here is a way for you to impact that. Here is a way for you to assist that, to invest in that with the Family Center. It's a direct connection. This is A to B here. You are making an impact on the future when you are helping the Family Center. It's one of the greatest investments you can make in life, let alone in our community here that does desperately need your funding and your help.
I had an opportunity earlier this year to take my daughter down to the Capitol and meet with legislators in regard to the different individuals that work at the Family Center and the services they provide. Our child and family advocate, our sexual assault education individual who goes into the schools, our visitation coordinators, our just all of the amazing people that work there and provide services. And how do you look at a cut of this magnitude and decide which of those vital services we need to reduce hours, or how is that need going to be met moving forward? And I can tell you that there's not a one. So we have to bridge that gap in another way.
And we're speaking with Amy Scheid, Administrative Development Volunteer Coordinator with our Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. Boy, that is a great title, but a long one. It's a tongue twister sometimes for me, Amy. That is a.
I will mention that to Tricia and tell her I need an acronym.
Please do. Shout out to her and the staff over there. We were talking a little bit in kind of a pregame about Men in the Kitchen. I had the privilege of getting to MC that event some years back, and I think maybe possibly the last one we had of those. And I hadn't been in the Family Center event in a while, but one of the things that happened when I didn't expect is I get in my head and I get really focused on the job, and I walk in and the first person I see is our current mayor at the time, and then I see another local mayor, and I see Sheriff Becker down there, and I see at the time a Rapids police chief, I see Andy Francis when he was with the Rafters there, I see the River Kings down there, and I teared up a little bit inside because I'm Italian, not outside, but you get that.
Oh, yes, I do.
But I because it meant so much to see so many community members supporting this cause, supporting the Family Center. The Family Center has for decades has supported our community. We always love opportunities for us to have your back and the way that the Family Center has always had our communities. And that's part of the greatness of these events coming up. And we have the 4th annual Touch a Truck right around the corner coming up July 27th over the Grand Rapids Lions Club. We've got some great vehicles down there, Amy. You've had a great week leading up to this, it sounds like.
Yes, absolutely. I have the privilege of coordinating all of the different aspects of this event this week, and that wind on your back, that hand of cooperation and support from the community has just been evident through coordinating with the different vehicles that are going to be here. We have our local military being represented. James gets to look out the window in his office and see those cool military trucks. They're going to be there. Different police departments, fire, LifeLink, God willing, they won't have an emergency and can come down and let the kids and adults as well see the LifeLink helicopter. And then the support of the businesses that bring their, and individuals who bring their vehicles down. There'll be a Model T there. There'll be a brand new Tesla, some ATVs, some moving truck from one of our local realtors, and big trucks from some of our major sponsors. So I've had the opportunity to coordinate with them, with Rapid Sheet Metal, Sparhawk Trucking, and Ho-Chunk Casino, who are our major sponsors for this event, but also with those that are supporting the food and game area. Ryan's hard at work through Great Expectations, making some delicious food this week for this weekend, thanks to Pepsi, Delta Dental, Renaissance, Flying Dollar, Cranberry, Members Advantage, and Greenway RV for all these great kids game prizes and delicious food that they are sponsoring. So I get to feel that support throughout this weekend. Yeah. I'm so grateful.
Especially with, again, the VOCA cuts and everything, a week like this, it's got to mean even more than I can put in the words I can imagine. We do want to shout out all of those businesses. As I always like to say, encourage you to buy the support those that support us, support our causes, support our community, put back into our community. Greatly appreciate all of them. And you notice a lot of familiar names in that list, a lot of familiar sponsors in that. Continue to support these great businesses, these great organizations that support our great causes and our community. There is, sorry, Amy, did Jeff?
I was just going to mention that in addition to those that I mentioned, there's dozens of raffle baskets that are going to be there. So be sure to come down, take a peek, take a lap around the table and see all of those individuals who donated to us as well.
There's going to be tractor rides, a ride in the water and light buckets, kid games, raffle, family-friendly vending. There is literally something for everybody down there. And these vehicles, whether it is the garbage truck, the buses, that Model T you mentioned, the Army vehicles, the tow trucks, the ambulances, all of these things, not only are they going to have fun, the kids going to have fun, but it's going to bring out the kid and you adults as well, especially if you haven't gotten to see one of these vehicles before.
I would agree. We see so many smiles on those tractor rides. I personally, James knows, would not be caught dead going up in the water and light truck. I respectfully stay on the ground and get pelted with acorns from the children up there. Boy, that's a hit as well. And just learning a little bit, one of our local automotive repair businesses are retired now, but brings the Model T and the Tesla. And the kids learn about the engines and just so much neat stuff.
While this is, to me, I always like added bonuses to things. I'm always a big fan of that. And we've touched on how important this event is and all the different impacts it can make in our community on this important cause. But there is these added bonuses there. And you mentioned one of them, Amy, about the spark it could create in a kid.
Yes.
And maybe the kid gets around the armored vehicle and decides to want to get involved in our military or serve or something or learn more about armored vehicles and making them. Who knows? With the ambulance down there, they will end up wanting to be an EMT or something like that. Or at the very least, maybe learn a little bit more about what it is to be an ambulance driver or be a doctor or any of these things and have a little more empathy for this stuff too.
Absolutely.
And that empathy part is incredibly important when we're talking about this subject as well, because kids aren't just born with these things. They learn these things from us. They see us. Their brains are sponges. And they're seeing how you're paying attention to this topic. They're seeing how you're approaching this topic. And that is how we raise generation after generation to not solve things this way or not do things like this, but to learn the right way to treat each other, the way to love and respect each other as a community.
I think that's a very good point, James, and an opportunity for the adults in our community to touch upon this topic and explain, if nothing else, why they might be attending this event and supporting this event this weekend. Completely volunteer run. So that's an opportunity as well to point that out to the young people that you might be accompanying to this event, that each and every person, each and every vehicle that is there is supported by a volunteer.
Yeah.
The event itself is completely run by volunteers, and I'm grateful every day to have the opportunity to work with those that that volunteer at our organization. One of the things that we are going to see moving forward with the VOCA cuts in tandem with that is that VOCA is requiring a higher percentage match of volunteerism in the area of direct service. So we need volunteers that will come and have a fun afternoon at an event like this, but we also need volunteers that are willing to answer the crisis line, perhaps transport one of our clients to an appointment. So if that's something that you feel in your heart, please give me a call.
It's one of the ways that you can impact your community, impact the family center. We understand that not everybody has dollars and cents, and as much as we do need that, there are other ways to impact this cause and be a part of this and be on the right side of history, quite bluntly. If people are interested in volunteering, just send them to the website. Give them your number, Amy.
Both would be appropriate. Every Wednesday we post on our Facebook page what we need as far as immediate needs in our pantry and or in shelter. So that would be an opportunity. Volunteer opportunities are posted on the Facebook page and on the website, and other events as well, James. We, in response to these cuts, have added some additional opportunities to support through fundraisers. James mentioned Men in the Kitchen. There is a rumor there, so stay tuned. And also in the interim, we are having our first annual golf outing. So you talk about the things that are important in the state of Wisconsin. We finally got some good weather, James.
Yes,
we are going to be golfing next month. So Get a team together.
Yes. The Family Center's Drive Against Violence golf outing is coming up Monday, August 19th. They're going to have a great time with this one at Bullseye Golf Club. A shout out to them. They always are great at hosting these things and appreciate that, their support. Get a team together. We've got room for you. We're you know, getting some quite a few good teams here. We need more, though. We want more. And it's an opportunity for you to golf. Like, I don't even have to say much more to the community. They love golf. Here's a great chance to not only get out there, get on the links, but also support one of the greatest things you can support in our Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. And again, the fourth annual Touch a Truck event coming up this Saturday, Grand Rapids Lions Club. Going to have a lot of great vehicles down there, a lot of good food, a lot of good times for a great cause with some great people. And as I always like to mention before we wrap up, Amy, that the Family Center has your back. Keep in mind that their crisis line is available 24/7, 715-421-1511. That's 421-1511. Keep that in mind, everybody. And again, the website, familyctr.org, familyctr.org. Amy, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate you.
Thank you, James. We appreciate you as well and your service to our board.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Reed Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project on Project 2025.
Donald Trump, Mr. Vance, when you say mass deportation, what do those words actually mean? Tell me how you're going to identify those people. Tell me where you're going to put those people. Something like a mass deportation suddenly becomes a massive forced roundup of people who maybe have been here 6 months and maybe have been here 60 years.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Don Ellingson is our guest. He's one of the co-directors of the Eau Claire Coupe League.
It's a Swedish yard game. You would toss a baton trying to knock down your opponent's coupes.
You have teams from all over the country. What are some of the other names that stuck out to you?
Coupe Hand Luke.
Nice. Yeah.
The Salty Baton.
Oh. Do you call the last 16 teams the Swedish 16?
Oh, I'm writing that down. That's pretty good.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR, Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm back in Green Bay on the home court, where I welcome host of the podcast Mob and Mafia News, Robert Dennis, and author Linda Cruz joins me in studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Vice President Harris hit the campaign trail today for her first presidential rally in Milwaukee. CBS's Weijia Jiang is there.
The big question, as it has always been, is how can she resonate with people in those critical battleground states that might be undecided? So that's why she's here in Wisconsin.
Donald Trump jumped on a conference call with reporters today and says Harris will be easier to beat than President Biden in November.
She's the same as Biden, but much more radical. She's a radical left person, and this country doesn't want a radical left person to destroy it.
He's agreed to go up against Harris in at least one presidential debate after next month's Democratic convention. And New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez will resign soon following his federal bribery conviction. CBS's Matt Piper.
New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez will resign in about a month on August 20th. He's been facing intense pressure to resign from fellow Democrats who threatened to call for a vote to expel him had he refused to do so.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris making a big announcement to a crowd of supporters today in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, I am told as of this morning that we have earned the support of enough delegates to secure the Democratic nomination.
She spoke to a crowd in West Allis. It was her first campaign stop as the presumptive Democratic Party nominee for president. Two people are dead after a plane crash near the EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh yesterday, which was the first day of the world's largest fly-in. All operations at Whitman Regional Airport were shut down. Federal safety officials say it was a private craft that was not taking part in the EAA. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following are upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, July 24th. In Wood County, the Land Information Council will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in Room 114. The Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin Advisory Committee will meet at 10 a.m. by teleconference. The Village of Port Edwards will hold their Public Works Committee meeting at 10 a.m. at the Marshall Bueller Center. The Public Safety meeting will take place at 4:30. There will be a general update.